Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Please, while I'm talking, just go to Exodus 24. But you know, it was a great time, and it means more anointing, more unction. The things that we have struggled to do, we will find it very easy to do them now. And that blessing is not just for me, it's for the church. So whatever has happened to me is also your portion. So oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. You are the light of the world. Shine your light upon us this morning. In Jesus' name. Exodus 24. And the Lord said to Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar. Please just follow the sequence. He built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings, that's very significant, of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved walk of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. They saw God. I want you to let that sink. They saw God. And they did eat, and what? They drank. And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me into the mountain and be there, and I will give thee tables of stones and a law and commandment which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So today we want to talk about the glory. Hallelujah. Now, every time that God, there is nothing that God wants to do today that he has not left us a prototype of how to achieve those things. If you read the scriptures, take your time, study the scriptures, you will find different ways with which people were able to approach the Lord and they were successful. Sometimes, and these were some of the concerns upon my heart yesterday before I started teaching. You know, when we talk about things like the prophetic, if you are not a prophet, don't talk. If I'm in a meeting where there are engineers or programmers, I may have an idea, but I would rather not want to make a fool of myself. Because when they talk about C++, I may have an idea. They may talk about JavaScript, I may have an idea. But they will get to a particular level. It will be obvious on my face that I'm confused. They will say, it's like this man is confused. The way my lecturer looked at one, they said, this man looks like he's lost. I said, no, I'm with you. I'm with you in the spirit. He said, don't be with me in the spirit. Be in this class. But was it my fault? No. I mean, I had a long day on Sunday. The way the man was just writing the formula, all I saw were his hands. Every other thing, I did not understand. But you know, later I was the one who still had to teach the class because I now went to study it. You know? So, when you come into the company of prophets, even Saul will prophesy. You may not be a prophet too, but even Saul will prophesy. So if you don't know how to prophesy, don't come and tell us that it is not about being a prophet. It's about being a prophet. If you don't have it, let those who have it talk. Let them prophesy. If you want to approach God, look for people. What I'm saying is not even about prophet. It's about the glory of God. I've attended meetings where the person preaching will say, it's not about cloud. It's not about smoke. What is it about? Didn't you read Exodus? Sometimes in our bid to say very smart things, we now destroy the desire of people to seek for God. We destroy the, because we have lost something. And we no longer know how to recover it. In a bit to make people comfortable, we now tell them it's not about cloud. It's not about seeing stars. It's not about those things you read in Moses. God doesn't work like that again. So how is God working, sir? Tell me, since you know. Can you call on God and he will answer you the way he answered Moses? You know Moses was not born again. You are born again. Can you call on God and he will answer you the way he answered? Do you know the way God answered Moses? God told the ministers to come before him and told them that don't cross this line. Only Moses should cross. Is that not segregation? No, that's level. That's level. Because what I am going to show to Moses, you can't handle it. So you stay here and be singing. I'm trying to tell you that you have to be careful. When in the beat to sound accurate, you destroy the fabric upon which the supernatural is built. The Christian faith is supernatural. You cannot come to church and say it's not about power. So what is it about? Tell me now. Maybe there are witches pursuing you up and down. What is it? What is it? Do you think that anybody in the spirit realm will recognize you if you don't have power? Do you think that, have you ever seen a conference where they wanted to give an award night and they invited people who failed in their business to present speeches? Say, our keynote speaker today is a man that has failed in, he started a farm, an agric business. He failed in the first year. Then he started a school, primary and secondary. Nobody came. Then he now married the wife. This is the third wife. Generally, he's around. So he's our speaker for today. Please welcome Dr. Bumotida to come and speak to us. Now, if you don't understand what Dabumotida means, I don't know how to interpret that one, but you should not name your child Dabumotida. Don't ever let anybody name your child Dabumotida, except it's a good thing. Except that thing you became is something that people should pray for. You know, there are people that you can use their name to pray. Ah, God, if you can do it like this, the way you did it for this. What am I trying to tell you? Even as a Christian, I've gone into meetings and people try to present a narrative about God to me that I was not really seeing in the Bible. And then all of us were shouting, yes. But over time, we now notice that essence was no more there. Over time, we just noticed that when we gathered, the only thing we did was we talk. Very few ministers can really come and tell you that, okay, let's Apostle Arume, we just can say, okay, let's practice what we just thought about. Not everybody can say that. So if I teach you, then I tell you, go and have faith. So if the message doesn't work for you, that means you don't have faith. That's the meaning, it's your fault. But that is not always the case. I'm talking about the glory of God. Because if God was able to walk with Moses in this way, why is it that every time we try to look at the last time, you know, we want to look at when God revealed himself to man, we're always going to the past. When the scripture says, behold, I do a new thing. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? God is always doing something new. If what God revealed to Moses was this heavy, that means Moses should be jealous of us right now. You are not here. I say Moses should be what? He should be envious. He should be jealous. Like, my God, I didn't see this. I didn't see this part. And in case you think it's about being a preacher, what about Daniel? What about Joseph? They were not pastors. They were politicians. They were businessmen. Abraham was a farmer. God referred to Abraham as his friend. Abraham was not a pastor. He was an intercessor. Abraham was a prophet, but his dimension was prophetic intercession, and the operation of his calling was faith. He operated his prophetic gift through faith. I don't know if you are with me. You see, but there are other ministers like John the Beloved, whose apostolic office was operated through love. You see, so there are people who God has given certain dimensions to, and it serves you well to understand who this man standing in front of you is. If not, you may be asking the president of Nigeria to make omelette. Omelette. The guy doesn't even know what to do with himself, and you're asking him to make omelette. The man can't remember the last time he walked into a kitchen and broke some eggs. You know, he does. Do you understand? There are things that you only get better at because you do them every day. Some of you may be shocked to know. I used to prepare amala. I knew if I turn amala for you like this, you would think I'm from Ibadan. But that was a long time ago. And the amala is only good for me. when I prepare them, I'm the only one that eats it. Because if you eat it, I cannot guarantee that you will not be admitted in the hospital. So, you know, you understand? Whether the thing done or be not done. So you can't threaten me with food. I'll just enter, I will turn it anyhow and be sweating there till it looks like what my mom used to prepare and I eat it. But do you know that there was a time I tried to prepare it. I don't know, was this stew or something? I just realized that I didn't really remember how to, you know, like, okay, I was just, okay, yeah, there's the oil, there's the, because it's been a while. As simple as that process is, I knew it's in my head, though, but I could not. I was okay. This is the meat. You've boiled the meat. Shall I fry it or shall I do? Simple thing, but for someone like you, you will almost do it without thinking, because you special. You are a woman. You already know what you want to do. In fact, in your head, you know when that food will be ready, without looking at the watch. Say, okay, it's 5 minutes. Turn it off. Put this one. Me, I will take chair, sit down in that kitchen. I'll be opening the pot 10 times. If you keep opening the pot, that food will not get done. You have to let the fire do its work. We are children of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one of the ways to step into this realm, because if the law was this glorious, how much more the glory of the Son? Hallelujah. As glorious, do you know that the glory that was that God revealed to Moses was so heavy that human beings couldn't stand in front of him? I want you to imagine the aura. If in the life of Reverend Catherine Kuhlman, if Catherine Kuhlman was coming into a meeting, she comes in some of the meetings, the halls that they use for their programs, she has to come in through the kitchenette at the back. Some of the people who worked in that hotel or that, you know, facility, they don't know who she is. They don't know she's a, they just know some people are doing something there, but they don't know who Catherine Kuhlman is. She comes in through the kitchen and she's rushing because she's late. And as she's rushing, everybody's falling under the anointing. Everybody. She didn't say, okay, I want to pass. When I pass, four. No. She, the glory, the aura with which she came in was so strong. Whether you are Muslim, Buddhist, animist, traditional worshiper, the unction was so strong. And let me tell you, you must labor for that thing. You must labor for it. Because that is how we know your ranking spiritually. The aura that is around you. The scripture says there is a glory of the sun. There is a glory of the moon. There is a glory of the stars. Paul was talking about this, I think, was it in 1 Corinthians 15 or so? He was talking about the glory of the terrestrial. And he was talking, look, let me tell you. Even though we are all children of God, we will not have the same glory. We will not have the same glory. So you must labor. There is nothing you will be in that world to come if you don't become it here. And it starts with a desire. Knowing that which God has already prepared and given to you. Because in the book of John chapter 17, Jesus said, the glory that I shared with you, I have given it to them. Now, if Jesus had made that statement, then we need to go and look at the life of Jesus and begin to see the kind of glory he operated in. As glorious as Moses was, when he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was no reference to that glory. But there was a reference to the glory of Jesus Christ. Which means there is a glory that surpasses it. There is a glory that surpasses it. There is a glory. There is more glory in your path. There is more glory as long as you keep journeying towards the Lord. And you keep walking towards him. And you keep the closer you are to the throne. The closer you are in your walk with him. Oh, there will always be a surpassing glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we look at the life of Jesus Christ, and you know, there was a time he was somewhere, and there was a person that was possessed by a demon. Jesus did not even talk to the person. It was the demon that started talking. He said, oh, you son of God, son of David, why are you here to torment us? Yeah, I'm just passing. I don't know you. Are you from Isolo branch or... are you from which local government? Your own demon people. Which side are you from? Are you from the Marine or? He says, oh yeah, okay. You want to talk? Oh yeah, leave. Don't return. Jesus never said it twice.
ogolon soro. The glory is talking. Because anytime he opens his mouth, oh my God. If you read the book of Revelations, you'll find the scripture where he said that when he opened his mouth, a sword came out. A large sword. You don't know this God you are serving. This is Jesus. You are playing a football on the street. Somebody now put leg for you. You now shout Jesus, or somebody was pressing the night. You shout. Do you know the bearer of that name? The scripture says when he opens his mouth, a large sword comes out. A large sword. Because he is the living word. Hallelujah. He is the living word. If he says to you that from today your life will not be the same, go and sleep. And if he sends his prophet to tell you that it's a new day for you, let me tell you, heaven and earth will pass away, but that word will be fulfilled. And I'm here to tell you that you are about to enter into a new season. Amen. Into a new season of glory.
Amen.
The Lord will distinguish you.
Amen.
The Lord will visit you.
Amen.
Like he visited Moses.
Amen.
I say like he visited Moses.
Amen.
And your eyes will be open.
Amen.
And your ears will hear things.
Amen.
And understanding will be given to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord has not called us to an empty life. He called us to a glorious life. He called us to a glorious life. I want you to say, I'm a child of glory.
I am a child of glory.
I want you to say it, I'm a child of glory.
I am a child of glory.
I'm a child of the presence of the Lord.
I am a child of glory.
Now, what I observe many times from talking to people and from observing people is that a lot of people know these things. But you see, many of my professors in school, they also teach me many things. My professor of economics and some of you did accounting. I hope you know your professors are broke. Mm-hmm. Many of them are broke. They tell you this is macroeconomics, microeconomics. You put them on Chinese television. You see some of them, they can analyze the country. When they analyze situation, you see the productive capacity is below this, is this, the GDP is this. If you people know, why is this man not the Minister of Finance? But there is somebody there. The CBN governor, the current one, I heard he has been the MD of 3 banks that failed. The MD of 3 banks that didn't survive. Then I say, be the CBN governor. Please, without being a prophet, what do you think will happen to your economy by the time the man is? Because there's only one thing he knows how to do, to destroy. But when they ask Baba, why did you choose him? He says he's lawyer. The man says he's lawyer. So you have to be close to God now, because the man that is in charge of your money, he has an area of specialization that anything he touch, the thing collapse. That decision the president took, was it not someone that advised him? Did you ever think in your lifetime that you buy fuel at 1, 2, 1, 3? You see, one thing about the glory is that the glory has, you see, when you are anointed, please hear me. When you walk in the anointing, you begin to walk at a certain level of spiritual resources. You have access to some things. You can call the things that be not as though they are. Huh? That means you can speak to things that didn't exist and they will appear. But you see, the glory realm has its own economic system that is different from the anointing. In the glory realm, it is not you calling things forth. It is God saying, I will supply your needs according to my own riches, not yours. That means you may be walking around with 0 kobo, 0 cent, 0 pence. But when God says, I will supply your need, it is not faith again. It is God's spending power. It is God's spending power. To release the anointing, you need to speak. The anointing operates by words. But in the glory realm, you can sit under the presence of God like these elders, and they were eating and drinking and they were not destroyed. Everything supplied by God. You are still not there.
That is that's the realm you must get to. I was listening to Pastor Delvan a few years ago, and he was preaching. He said at the beginning of every year, he empties every item in his bank balance, every money, and he sows it out. He gives it as a gift to the Lord. In my mind, you know, me, I was calculating that at this man's level, it's in millions. You know, me, I didn't even have anything. So in my mind, I don't know if you do that or no. We walk with God by faith. I started preaching to myself. We walk with God by faith. That's his own revelation. It does, yeah, it's good. It's an encouragement. But me, I know they do that one. Until I got to this junction, I now knew why Pastor Devon can make that statement. Because at that level, it's not what you have that determines your prosperity. It is what the glory realm releases to you. You can start the day with 2 million, end it with 0 naira. The next morning you wake up with 10 million. Because it daily loads us with benefits. God doesn't pay every week. He doesn't pay every month. He pays every day. I say God pays every day. I say God pays you every day. He daily loads us with benefits. That I'm talking to you. I say he daily loads you with benefits. God brought you into this world. You are his child. He is responsible for you. So don't get into that trap. There are many things I do, but I do them out of interest and passion. Not because I want to die there and make money. I just like to do many things. It's not because this glory realm, we must discover it. If you discover it, it will affect your life, it will affect your marriage, it will affect your finance, it will affect every part of your life. There are people that will be close to you. They will think that it's because they are good. They are smart. That's why things are. They are not aware that it's because of the glory around you that is also making a way for them. The scripture speaks about Lot. The Bible says, Lot that went with Abraham was also blessed. Lot who went with Abraham was also blessed. Lot who went, God didn't ask Lot to go on a journey. But because Lot decided to journey with Abraham, God also blessed him. Who you follow matters. If you attend the church where the pastor says, you people just focus on heaven, you will all make heaven, but you will get to heaven in a very painful way. Very painful way. Broke, sick, tired. When you get to heaven, they'll say, don't walk again. Angel will carry you from the gate, take you to the hospital in heaven. Oh, yeah, put drip. The man has been suffering. Put drip. Say, are they the ones from that church? Say, okay. We know them. Special room. Put drip. They have suffered. Their only goal is to make heaven. So they are here. So you are, by the time you get there, you are tired. They just carry you from the gate. Straight to hospital. I see you. Go and check everybody that worked with God well. Abraham, Joseph, Daniel. Mention many of them in the scriptures were influential people. Many of them were influential people. They were not small people by any standard. That's why I tell you, you will not be small.
Amen.
Joseph, this man, Moses, was the prince of Egypt. God is the only person I know that can call a man from a kingdom to come and serve in another kingdom. This was the prince of Egypt, adopted. But God called him, say, come and be a prophet. Do you know your calling? Do you know what God really would like you to do in this life before you leave? And then you build your material and your case there. The glory realm is real. God hides himself in glory. Glory there means splendor. Splendor. When you go into the presence of a king, and you see how ambience and how wonderful his palace looks and his presence. You see the soldiers. The Bible talks about the bodyguards of Solomon, that they were all dressed in gold. I know you got married and bought a gold ring. The bodyguards of Solomon, head to toe, were wearing gold. So you think your own kingdom, you people are doing well until you came to Israel. You now saw that even the messengers are wearing gold. Like, this is what the king wears in another country. This one, the bodyguard. So what's the king wearing? He wears wisdom. Because gold, when you put, God told us, when you put gold and wisdom together, leave gold, take wisdom. Look at the dress sense of Solomon. And some of you are still not aware that the reason why many people are rejecting is because of the way you dress. Many people are not aware. You are just spiritual for nothing. No matter how anointed I am, the way you dress will influence the way I approach you. Hello, how are you? Yes. You know, I may even see and just walk. You greet my one answer. Because I don't want to see you twice. Because you're a distraction to me. Why do we wear our best dresses when we are going to the embassy or you are going to visit your future in-laws? Because you want to make a good impression. So it's part of it. If you're a child of glory, dress like it. Whether you're a brother or a sister, dress spiritually responsibly. God said to Moses, he said, come up here and meet with me. And the first thing in verse 4, when, please go to verse 4, was that Moses built an altar. The moment God beckoned to him, please, I want you to follow the steps listed here. When the Lord said to him, come up to me, Moses did not say, oh, he has called me, and he started going carelessly. And that is the mistake many of us make. If the Lord tells you, I want to see you in 7 days, what God is telling is that prepare to come. Please, are you with me? You see, when you look at some of these people in the Old Testament, you can learn a lot from them. You can learn a lot from them. They seem to know more about reverence than we do. Everything we know now has no fear of God. So God is useful to me as long as he's blessing me. But we do not fear God to the point that he influences our decision. God said to Moses, come and meet me. And the first thing Moses did was to build an altar. Now, when you build an altar in the Old Testament, what do you think they place on that altar? A sacrifice. Now, the sacrifice speaks of redemption, speaks of the death of Jesus. That means that, representatively, Moses knew that he could not approach God carelessly. Please, are you with me? I'm showing you... You know, I'm not really... Personally, I don't like listening to myself because I'm not a fantastic speaker. But because of the kind of person I am, I always like to know why something is the way it is. If you listen to my message, you'll notice I'm always pointing you to how to get some things done. If you listen carefully. And most of these things, I found them in the Bible. Somebody may take this time and begin to preach everlasting message. I don't have time. The Lord told me to leave everlasting message for those who have it. Me, preach to the people in such a way that they will see me and they can come. That's what the Lord said. That the day God called me as a prophet, that was what he told me. Point men to me and get out of the way. And that's what I'm doing. I said to you that in this chapter, there are principles that you can follow. Are you with me? You can follow, especially when your destination is the glory realm. Are you with me so far? Are you here now?
Yes, sir.
God said, Moses decided to build an altar. When the Lord told him to come, did the Lord tell him build an altar? There are some things that are just common spiritual sense.
It's just like God saying to Hezekiah, you will not need to fight in this battle. Did God tell him to bring the choir to the battleground? Spiritual sense. Some things that you just know that, okay, this is the way God works. He dwells in the, he inhabits the praises of his people. Okay, let's join two and two together, and you are good. So this brother decided to build an altar under the hill. Under the hill. Under the hill. His intention is to climb that hill. But he first of all, in the valley, raised an altar. What is the New Testament equivalent of what Brother Moses did? So God says, Bukola, I want you to come and seek my face for 7 days. All right. First, he begins to do, she tells her husband, next week I will not be available to be cooking or to be arguing with you. The Lord said I should come and wait on him. I want to go and serve my king. We'll make tea for him. We'll make bread for him. We'll sing for him. We'll dance for him. So all those, your face that will be looking one kind, as if you want to die when you are coming from work. Biko, next week, suspend it. When I come back, you can start. Number two, you will be taking care of these children. So the Lord will give you the grace. This is where the salt is. This is where pepper is. This is, we have rice, we have yam. We have inside that drum, that one down there, there's beans. Then this one is garri. So the Lord will help you. I'll be in church for 7 days. You can only reach me 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Even me that said this, I just said, if my wife tells me, I'll lose my temper. I'll lose my temper because you have created a big problem for me. Because how do I manage this battalion of of children, three children? So that 7 days, share it to share a hand one day. That 7 days will come and go, Abby. Okay. And you know it will be the longest 7 days of your life. But what is the idea I'm trying to paint here? When the Lord beckons to you, don't go carelessly. Begin to organize your environment to look like what you are about, the journey you are about to take. And this guy knew that he could not approach the Lord without blood. So what is the New Testament equivalent? After I make up my mind I'm going to seek the Lord, I'll begin to go through a period of cleansing. Please, write it down. When you're about to seek the Lord, maybe for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, you want to go on a prolonged fast or seeking the Lord, even if it could be for one day, you know, it's good for you to prepare yourself. You begin to go through cleansing. Now, you may not know how important this cleansing is. Do you know that there was a time in the scripture that the Lord told Moses to circumcise his son? Do you remember that story? And Moses delayed. Moses delayed. Do you know this story? Yes. Moses delayed to circumcise his son. What God was telling him is that if you don't circumcise him, even though you belong to me, your son does not belong to me. Your son will be exposed to spiritual attacks. And maybe I will come and very soon, if you remind me, I want to talk about the circumcision of the spirit. Church is quiet. Are you here? Please take it seriously. I don't want to be the pastor of spiritually useless people. If you are in this church for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and you find yourself somewhere else, and there's a situation, you ask yourself, how are we taught to undo this thing? So the first thing, we need to raise an altar. That altar, we need to raise. Who are the 2-3 people here that are spiritual? Separate them from every other person. Bring them close. Then you must enter into agreement. There's a way to do these things. Many of you are praying with people you don't spiritually agree with. When you pray with someone that you do not spiritually agree with, you have done yourself a great deceit. That prayer will be wasted by 50%. The potential of that prayer is wasted. So please remind me. I will come back and talk about these things. Some of you, your best friends are only good as best friends, but they are not good as covenant friends. So you can form WhatsApp group and be greeting yourself, be saying, hey, did you see this new movie that came out? That's the level of the friendship. All right. So you must know, instead of you to be deceiving yourself, say, hey, my bestie's birthday. You better calm down and ask God, who is your friend? You're a prayer warrior. Your friend cannot hear God. How did you meet? You say this person is your friend, but she cannot hear God. So how did you meet? Which express brought you together? Let me rush up here. I'll finish this in the second service. See, the first thing that Moses did was what? He built an altar. What is the New Testament equivalent? Let me tell you. So I am Moses. The Lord has said, come up hither and worship me. So when I begin to cleanse myself, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for your beckoning. I plead the blood of Jesus. I ask that, Lord, I will be cleansed in my soul from every impurity. I will be cleansed in my soul from everything that offends you. I plead the blood of Jesus upon my hearts, my intentions, and my purposes. I ask that, Lord, your power will be stretched out, and I will be cleansed so that my heart may be pure enough to seek you and to proceed before the throne of grace. Lord, I ask for mercy in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy. I can be there 30 minutes. I ask for mercy. Ask for mercy that I may proceed. Ask for mercy that I may proceed towards you. I choose not to come carelessly. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for mercy and grace to proceed. That, Lord, I may be found worthy in your sight. That, Lord, I will find favor before you. That, Lord, I will be found worthy to hear your voice again. Father, I ask for mercy and I ask for clearance. I ask for clearance. I ask for clearance. I will be there praying like that, until I have a witness in my spirit that I proceed. That can take a day, can take 2 days. I'm not in a hurry. If I start saying that and I get that, I will start singing. And there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. And there is nothing you can do. Oh God, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. And still in that prayer mode, then I switch again. Praying fervently. Fervently. Because I know that between me and this point, there is a veil and I need to break through. You can't, just because you say come boldly, there is a general come, there is a specific beckoning. In this particular case of Moses, it was the Lord who said come. But Moses was not foolish. He could not approach carelessly. I begin to pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit, until I receive a witness in my heart that says, now the door is open, come. Even though the Lord say come, you can't open the door and come, you still have to knock now. Abi, you knock. I don't know how many times my wife has warned my children, knock before you enter this room. They still keep banging in and jamming like San Francisco. Is it? This is my room. Knock and wait for a response. I may not want you to come in. They still keep. Oh, man. These children. Yeah, is their right? The advance that can try it. If a visitor tries it, I'll get him arrested. I'll just stay there. Is that the police? Come and take. There's somebody in front of my bedroom. Come on. You know, police now in Nigeria, you don't have work. It's whoever calls them. Say yes, you are the one that refused to pay your rent. Follow us to the station. There are people in Boko Haram, in Sambisa. You didn't go there. You came to Mushi to arrest somebody that did not pay rent. And you call yourself a policeman. You are not a policeman. You are an askari. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you that have people that you are responsible for, let's assume that you are the first child of your house. Of the family, let's say you are the eldest, or
sure you are like the priest in the house. Let's say you are the one that is really close to God in your house. Look at verse 4 again. Put up. I want to show you something here. Look at. He said he built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars. According to what? So if you are the kind of person that you are the one always lifting your family in prayer, what is the Lord saying to you? Don't come alone. So if I were you, you know what I would do? If I have my siblings' pictures representing the pillars, I'll put them in front of me. Because maybe the matter we want to talk about involves the family. So I am the intercessor, but I didn't come alone. Another way I could do it is that I would come to that prayer bearing their memory in their mind. I'm thinking about my family. And I'm coming and say, Father, I am not here alone. My whole family is here. Lord, my son is sick. Father, help us. Lord, we are struggling. We need your help. Father, what should we do? You can now begin to pray prayer of inquiry. There's a way to approach God. So some of you just go shakalaba. Oh God, it doesn't work that way. You will do that shaklobaba for 18 days, but you didn't approach him like a king. He is a king, he is your father, but the domain of what you are praying about is under his kingship, which means you must come cautiously. When Esther was supposed to go before the king, she went on a fast. The man is her husband. She has seen that man's nakedness. But the domain, what she's asking for, is not at that level. So she didn't want to gamble. So let me fast for 30 days first. She fasted, right? She fasted. Say, if I perish, let us fast first. Ah. So I say, it's not like fasting. Say, in the New Testament. Oga, may your file not be opened by witches and wizard. Eh? You see those witches and wizard. What you don't know about many of them is that they obey spiritual laws. There are witches. They want to come after you. They will prepare 1 year ahead, 6 months ahead. They will study you. They will come to your church. They'll come to your church. See the way they run their side. They say in this church, all the latest dance steps on Instagram is there. Do you sit in that church? Okay. This one's there. I was up church. Okay. Who is the pastor? 7 keys of covenant prosperity. All right. Okay, maybe it's just this Sunday. Let's come again next week. They will now notice that there's nothing about the pastor that strikes them as unusual. The wife, she dresses, exposes her cleavage. Okay. Who is the prayer leader? They say that one doesn't come to church every time. Okay. What the assistant pastor? He comes late. All right. They will sit down, 6 months, studying you. They will come to you, Pastor, please pray for me. You too, carry your hand. Meanwhile, the scripture says, lay hand on no man suddenly. Are you still here? Church is quiet too. I spoke to a pastor. I won't tell you where or when, so you won't suspect me. We were just talking. And I asked him, I said, Pastor, I found somebody I wanted to get married to. I said, fantastic. He told me where the lady was. I said, oh, wow, wonderful. When is she coming to Lagos? We just talked. By the time we finished that conversation, and I turned, I just heard, not approved. I looked back. I left him. I went home. I saw him the next day. I said, Pastor, sorry, his friend was with him. I said, can I ask you a question? Don't be angry. You know, me, I just hear God little by little. But I don't want to assume it's God that is talking to me. Sorry, I just want to ask. Did you get approval from God before telling this girl you want to marry her? I say, before you answer, I say, you know, sometimes
people can have issues that they are hiding. Like maybe she has been married before. Or maybe she has had a baby before, but she didn't disclose it. You know, there might be, there's something wrong. You know, I was just saying, I'm glad the pastor was very wise. Because I was saying, it's not like God is talking to me. What I was telling him is that, oh God, light here, open your ear, God is talking now. Because the prophet is a madman. I say it's like there's something wrong in our family, and you need to, you can marry her, but are you ready to fight the battle? He looked at me. The other pastor did not say anything. And I said, well, go and pray about it. And he said, actually, she has been married before. She has in their family, they normally divorce. The first person you marry, you divorce. I say, like I said, it's just just think about it. I say, but if I were you, you see, I went to this meeting. The prophet, the pastor there, gave me confirmation. I said they looked at the girl because she's fine. They look at the girl because she's fine. Me too. If I see that girl, I will tell you, Maria. Because people from that area, they are very lovely. So I don't want to see her. She said, every pastor, she mentioned big, big pastors. And now as I say, those pastors, are they prophets? A prophet doesn't have to be a fantastic preacher. But if he tells you that place you are going, you will have problem there. If you lie, pray, you will have problem. Say you are the second person out of like 10 pastors. I say that means only two of us are wise. If I were you, you know how to preach. Put everything on hold until you get clearance from heaven. Now, I wasn't praying. I wasn't thinking about him. Why was it that easy to hear that thing? You know, the work of a pastor, if you say someone is your pastor, your pastor can enter your life and tell you that what you are doing is wrong. If not, that person is not your pastor. That's how God delivered the innocent brother. You can lay hands on somebody and you start having feelings for the person. People don't know. So let's talk again. What's your Saturday like? Let's have a short Bible study. The affection has entered. The virus has entered your heart, but you thought you are still ministering to her. You don't know she's the one ministering to you. There are things like this. That's why we repent and plead the blood of Jesus before coming before Him, because we are human beings. You cannot take away the fact that you can have affection for people. But before you, so that you, when you go there, you will not be delayed. Instead of telling you what to tell the people of Israel, they will not be talking about, hey, Ungozi, who is Ungozi? Her name is showing up here. Who is Loretta? Okay, who is Funke? Who are all these people? They are not your church members. Say, this one I met her at the market. This one I met her when I went to the gym. You are even in the gym now. Say, what are you, Jimmy? This is your small body. Say, I just want to be fit. No, nothing to do with your. Okay. You want to gym? Okay. What about this one? Say, I met her inside the bank. So, Pastor, I want to ask, what have you been doing for the Lord? Because all these things you are saying now, we don't. It's not part of the arrangement. So that you will not spend enough, instead of 14 days fast to now become 21, take time, raise an altar, and settle those things before you approach. You don't need prophet for that. You need common sense. The reason I'm saying this, and we'll round up in a bit, is that the agenda, the direction where we are going is glory. And in the glory of God, only one person will be seen. That's Jesus. And in the glory of God, there will be no stain. I said there will be no stain. There will be no stain. There will be nothing that will repel the glory of God. That is why we repent. It's not because we are living in sin. But many times we fall short of the standard. Sometimes I might have said something hurtful to you or done something against you, but I may not have seen it as a bad thing. But you are hurt, but you also didn't talk. So I need to repent. I need to repent. It's not repentance like I am sinning, but repentance because I am flesh. Please, are you with me? I am flesh. I can innocently do something wrong. I can innocently do, even as a pastor, I can innocently do something wrong. So before I go before you, I say, Father, I plead for mercy. I plead the blood of Jesus and I ask for your grace. And when I get clearance, I now begin to approach. So when we come back for the second service, I will take this further. But the goal, again, is that at the end of the day, I want you to be able to go back to your homes and know how to raise a strong argument that even God is compelled to say, let's visit this person. And believe me, in the days to come, we are starting our fasting tomorrow, right?
Yes.
So, some of you think I'll forget. I will not forget. Our day... Fasting has come. Some of you are like, tomorrow you wake up, you will be smelling egg roll early in the morning. But don't be deceived. Tomorrow you will wake up wishing for fresh akara and bread. But the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. Somebody did not respond. Somebody is still planning on eating akara tomorrow. Eh? Are you blessed this morning?
Yes, sir.
Are you blessed? Have you learned anything this morning?
Yes, sir.
We have received the grace to approach. And you can take this decision. And in 2-3 years, your family will be saved. Because you are spiritually trained to do these things. There is nobody here, listen to me, no matter how damaged your life is, if you follow these steps, you will see a change. Because whoever the blood washes, there's hope for that person. I say whoever the blood of Jesus washes, there is hope for that person. There is hope for that person. And listen to me, the blood of Jesus is not for righteous people. Are you hearing me? It's not for righteous people. I know you, some of you are born in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, I've been born a prophet in my mother's womb. I'm not talking about you. Someone say, I was born again from my mother's womb. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking to those of us who know that we came into this world as sinners and we met with the mercy of the Savior. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I pray over everyone here and over everyone joining online that the mercy of our Lord will be released over you and over your families in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, you will receive entrance. You will receive grace to come into the holies of holies, to approach and to be accepted. In the name of Jesus, that in this season, as we wait upon the Lord, we will receive our marching orders. We'll be delivered, we'll be set free, and released to fulfill our destiny. And I declare that in this season, strange voices will be released, will be taken out of our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Therefore, we receive grace as sons to stand boldly before His presence as sons and as daughters of the Most High God. And in the name of Jesus, our identity is restored. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together and bless the Lord.